Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Open Line Fun Sunday. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, and producing this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
Hey, what's up? Haven't talked to you in a while.
It's been a minute. Nothing much. I am glad to be back. I hate that the Texans lost, but I am back, and I'm ready to get to work, Captain.
Yeah, it was not a very good sports weekend or week for Houston.
Oh, man. Yeah, with the Astros and everything.
Preceding that game, oh, yeah. They couldn't let us have one day to be miserable with the Texans. They had to drop the double whammy on us.
I know. Gosh darn it, man.
Oh, scandals, scandals.
We'll rebound, though, for sure.
I hope. It's still a good game. I'll continue to watch it. But if you're gonna get one or two teams, you better get all of them because they're all doing it.
Yeah, that's true. You gonna watch any football today?
If you steal a signal from somebody, that's part of the game. That's part of the game is trying to read and steal signals. Ever since I was a little kid, that's where the game is. But anyway, I guess it's not fair electronically.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch some football today.
Should be good.
Yeah, who are you leaning towards?
Man, honestly, I think Tennessee might beat Kansas City.
I think they might too. Those guys came alive at the end of the season, and if Derrick Henry is the beast that he's been for the last few games, and they can run him down Kansas City's throat, which is not that good against a run anyway, and keep Mahomes off the field. There you go. And clock
then,
management.
And then you got 49ers Green Bay. I think 49ers might go to the Super Bowl, man.
Well, their size is the better team all around, you know, defensively, offensively, the whole nine yards. I'd love to see, I'll tell you what, it'd be a cool matchup to see Mahomes and the older guy.
Rodgers
in the Super Bowl, you know. Hey, but never get those kind of matchups, it seems like. But anyway,
that's true.
Good luck to all of them.
Yes, sir.
Whoever wins there, it's deserving. They deserve to be there. Whoever's the best team today will definitely be in the Super Bowl. All right, well, cool. Our sponsor for today's show, the Belleville Meat Market, Boyd One Stop, Bauman Marine Service, Skeeter's Auto Service, Castaway Rods, Mainstream Marketing, and McLean Trailers. Right now, Galveston down on the island. It's 56 degrees down there. It feels like 50. This front definitely roared in last night. We have kind of a mostly north, a little bit of east in it, north-northeast, at 29 with gusts to 37. We have a mix of clouds and sun with gusty winds today, but it is nice to not have fog for a change. The high today will be 57 down on the island. Winds will be north-northeast 25 to 35 miles per hour, and higher wind gusts are possible. And then tonight, clear skies, low of 47, north-northeast 10 to 20. And then for tomorrow, sunny skies, high of 58, north-northeast at 10 to 20 miles per hour. So really nice nice to get this front in here and clear some of this moisture out. I've had enough of it. It's pretty drab, if you ask me. I'm not much into that. But anyway, tides for today, we have four tide changes. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We've got a low coming up at 6:05 a.m. It's a negative 0.6. And then a high at 2:20 p.m., a 1.0. And then a low at 7:44 p.m., an 0.7. And a high at 10:30 p.m., an 0.8. 7:14 a.m. is sunrise. 5:46 p.m. sunset. Our moon phase is 36%. We're headed towards our next new moon. And current conditions, little breezy out there. It's gusting to 36 at the buoy out of the north-northeast. And at Eagle Point, we have a north wind at 18, gusting to 25. Morgan's Point is north at 16, gusting to 21. Water temps at both those locations is 64 degrees and barometric pressure 30.32 inches and rising. So there it is. There's your tides and your weather and winds, and might be a good day to lay up and watch football, do some cooking. You'll have a good breeze to draft that pit. If you cook old school like I do, use charcoal and real wood. I tease all my buddies with these pellet grills, but I'm not going to go there. All right, let's get to our phone lines. Let's get started off with a hammer, see what he's been doing this weekend. Glenn, what's going on over there in the Tri-Bay area, man?
You got it, Captain Mickey. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Other than getting blown off the porch this morning.
Oh, my. It is. I walked out there, and I turned right around and came back in.
Yes, sir.
Well, I got a good – it's 20 miles an hour, if nothing else. I guarantee you 20 straight out of the north right now, buddy. It's upping. And we knew it was coming.
Yeah.
We just, you know what I mean? One day is different than the next. But Saturday, Doomsday, everybody brought their Christmas trees and dumped them off down here. And they had a bunch of volunteers show up. And I want to throw out thank yous to all the people that took their day off to come down and help plant some trees in the sand dunes. And,
oh, that's the Dune Restoration Project.
Yes, sir. They do it every year. You know, they pile up as many trees as they can, and then they get a bunch of volunteers. And I did it for years and years. I've been kind of feeling under the weather. I would have got down there yesterday, but I didn't help them. Anyway, I just wanted to throw out a thank you for everybody that did come down there. You know, it puts a little Band-Aid on the elephant's butt. That's what I like to put, you know, more or less. I mean, yeah. It does pile up the sand and allow some weeds and stuff to grow up on there, some marsh grass and stuff. But it just it's a lot of work, and, you know, it's got to be done. Something's got to be done. So instead of discarding and burning all those trees, they come down here and plant them in the sand. Not plant them, but, you know, they tie them. They have these little rows of fences and stuff, and then they tie the trees to them to keep them from floating away and that kind of stuff. But,
well, and plus you get the tide and the winds and everything else that blow the sand up into them, and it just kind of makes like a little bulkhead, and then it adds to it, and hopefully it turns into a big, beautiful dune.
It builds them up, and you can see the difference, and then people will start getting all those rough tides and high tides and stuff like that, man. And, you know, it just takes its toll. Each storm we get, and each hard blow that we get, and with the waves slapping on the shore, there's just not, you know, I know you remember Surfside Beach years ago. There was two different ways of traffic, and there was places to camp, and
Tons of room, man. You'd set your camp up by the dunes, and it was a long walk down to the water.
It was. And now they have one lane of traffic, and they leave one lane open for emergency vehicles, so there is no two-way traffic on our beach. I still can't figure it out, dude. I don't know. I know it'll kill the tourism if you tell them, no, you can't park your car on the beach, but we're one of the few beaches in the United States that allow vehicles down there anyway. And all they
you
do is get down there with their – Well, they get down there with their big old four-wheelers, and they just do as much damage as they can. Not everybody. You know, a lot of people just come down and there's –
That was a big deal when I was growing up, being able to peel out in the sand on the beach, man.
That's right.
You look back in your rearview mirror and see your tire marks. That was always cool. Get her sideways a little bit. You can't do that now. There's too many people. There'd be nobody on the beach back in those days, though. There was nobody there.
I know it. It's all changed, man. But anyway, thanks to everybody that came down yesterday. Man, it was calm as could be yesterday morning. I know somebody called them somewhere. It wasn't me, though. I mean, I didn't get out there. But
I think 17... That spectacular tournament, I believe the guys that won it had 17-31 or something like that. Had a big old
yesterday.
Kicker trout and looked like a couple of 4 or 5 pounders to go with it. So they
nice,
pretty strong.
Yes,
for
sir.
This day and age.
Nice. Yeah, they're our fishing's been holding its own. I can't complain when we can get out there. the water condition's been holding its own. It's been really, really good. Our tide levels have been decent, you know what I mean? Other than the long outgoing tides in the morning last week when I was fishing, or this past week, but it's now it's changing. You know, we got a little shorter tides, and a little more incoming in the morning than outgoing, and it doesn't matter. It's all, what we do this time of year, and it's no secret. Everybody knows what I do. I hit the channels and the deeper guts and cuts and the drains and that kind of thing, and I just sit on them, man. We'll pull up to a drain and just make about 50 casts, and if you ain't got nothing, get to another one and troll down a canal and let the current carry you through there, and flipping in them soft plastics, 8-ounce jig heads or quarter ounce, and no gumballs, please. No planting corn. That cracked me up when you said that.
That guy was leaving rows on the bottom you can plant corn in, bud.
I'm still laughing over that, but that's about basically what he was doing anyway.
Well, boy, I've seen days where that was the only technique that worked, and I am not a good bottom dredger. I hate dragging on the bottom.
I'll
I'm going to do that. I'll put me some dead shrimp.
I mean it. I'll hang up on every oyster clump there is down there. But I like using that little light, and that's what we're doing this time of year. We're rigging up with soft plastics and hopping and dropping and sliding and gliding and just make you up a retrieve and keep at it. And you better have a real good feel, a sensitive rod with a light test string on there, but monofilament or something. Well, I know you use braid and most everybody else. I'm still an old monofilament guy.
No, I use a lot of monofilament. About the only time I use braids when I'm wading with topwaters or, you know, red fishing out of the boat, you know, with a bigger stick and heavier line. Yeah.
Well, I think I'm going to just spend today fixing some things. My power pole went down. Let me just kind of stopped. Now, I checked with my little voltage tester. I've got 12 volts back at the little circuit board inside of the thing, you know what I mean? I'm getting my voltage back there, but it's just not responding. So, and it's brand new. I haven't had it probably within a year. So I'm going to give Power Pole a call this week. They've always been real fair about
it. Yeah, they are. They're the best. They're good at their service is excellent.
Yeah, and I'm going to put in a call this week to them and just explain to them what's going on. And the last time I did that, man, they mailed me the part, and I was able to put it in and everything. So, and I'm just hoping for the best of that because I depend on it a lot, man. The older I get, I depend on that power pole a whole bunch more than I want to walk up to the front of the boat and throw that big old Danforth anchor out there. It's one of them San Luis Pass anchors with a big old chain on it. And you know what I mean. When I plop that deal out, we're there to stay for a while because I don't like picking it up too much. But, hey, man, bait camps are holding bait, and the boat ramps look real good. You know, our tides are holding normal right now. So if you're coming down here to get bait, you probably want to come a little bit early, I would say. And you want to give yourself some time for the traffic and the plant work and all of that stuff that's going on down here. It's rapidly changing. You know, it's a busy, busy little town, even on the weekends now. So, but it looks good, Captain Mickey. Everything looks good down here, buddy. And I'll try to get out this week, and I'll have you a better report.
All right, bud. Well, how you put them a number out? Somebody wants to call you about coming.
713-208-0683, buddy.
All right, Hammer. Good talking to you. Have a good Sunday.
Thank you, Captain Mickey. Y'all have a great day.
Later. All right. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 69. Let's go to report and Captain Tony Gonzalez, see what he's up to on this Sunday morning. Tony, what's going on, man?
Not much, Captain Mick. How are you?
I'm good.
Just sitting here making me a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Trying to clear out. That cedar's got me pretty bad right now, but hopefully with this cold front will knock some of it down.
Hopefully so.
Hope it gets bad.
I think we don't have to worry about this morning, this fog, anyway.
Finally blew out of here.
Yeah.
Nasty.
It's been slimy.
But, no, I hadn't had any trips. I got my boat in the shop still. Hopefully I'll pick it up this week. For any lower unit on there, I get to take it to the fiberglass man. But I got bit by the hunting bug late. I've been shopping, trying to keep myself from buying another gun. I need another gun, but
yeah, everybody does.
But my wife was kind of happy, you know.
Get them while they're hot, baby.
She was after me, but you should get a lease, you know, last year or two, because I hadn't had one, and just hadn't been, you know, hadn't been that mad at them. And then with that hunt with the Iceman last week, I really got lit a fire underneath me, and I've been looking up ballistics and guns and reading some of them books from that Bill's buddy John Wooters wrote. They're pretty neat because they're written in like 1979, one of them. And, you know, comparison to all the shows and everything now, in comparison to what his theories were on hunting back then, are pretty neat, you know, just simplicity of it, calibers and hunting methods. But yeah, I was eyeballing a shotgun, that CZ all-terrain they have out now, since we still have February left for quail. It's a pretty nice shotgun, right at $700, just under $800, and it has Cerakote on there, over under, and looking at that 20 gauge and the ultralight. I mean, we have a lot of birds there. My buddy was asking me about them. Any birds? Like, I do. Like, every stand we sat on, there's coveys at every station. It's like, well, nobody has them, so let's try to put a hunt together. So here, I don't know if this week. I got that hunter coming back after that deer, and actually we have two others on camera that we're looking at. I sent you those pictures.
Yeah.
And so that's our plan. Hopefully we'll go over there and maybe do a quail hunt, set some cameras up. I want to set them up about 5 to 7 days before he gets there. It does no good for us to put them up now. It's just too far of a pattern. He's coming back that first week in February, and we can hunt all the way through the end of February. And with them being, you know, they're not really rutting or fighting. Hopefully, they won't be broken up.
Well, boy, they're going crazy at Blaine's. They're going to really miss the best part of the rut again this year, you know, as far as breeding the mature does.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's going on like crazy down there right now. Today's the last day of horn season. It's over. Sunset tonight. That'll be it.
Then they'll go to spikes and does.
Yeah. Do a little house cleaning.
And that was one of the things that John wrote about. He was one of the ones that started up on, you know, taking out spikes, harvesting spikes and stuff. And, you know, I have a big theory on that, too, you know, because not all the same age. You know, some are a year and a half, some are a year old. And some of those that are born real early tend to push out spikes. So he's kind of an overachiever, and then you take him out of the herd, he might have been your best buck off of that year.
Well, that's true. You got to give him a year or two to figure out what they're going to be. You know, and some of those yearling deer, they'll come out and immediately crab claw out or even turn into an 8-point, right, you know, first year.
And we have one that is on video. I didn't see him personally, but I saw it at the house and we were showing videos that he was a 6-pointer, a 4-pointer with two drops out of the back. He was a year and a half, maybe 2.5, but he seemed like that was his first set of horns. Yeah. I was amazed by that, you know, for him that young to have two little drop times. What's going to happen with him, you know? And that's what me and Bill were talking about. I was looking at his big antlers up there. Like, which one was the first 200 you shot off? He's like, this one right here. He's like, we named him Jumbo. He's like, the weird thing about this deer, what's that? It's like he had two giant drops, about 8 inches on each side, and then that year we took him, he didn't have those drops. He's like, broke my heart. And, you know, the biologist told him, he's still an amazing deer. He's right. He's over 200. You know, he harvested him, but like, I was really looking forward to those drops on that deer, you know. It's like, that's kind of weird that he made it, you know, 6 years, at the seventh year he dropped them. But it's pretty neat. I don't know if you ever Wikipedia'd like your 6.8 SPC.
Yeah.
But looking at different calibers, if you just Wikipedia a caliber, man, they go through so much of the ballistics, and they even figure out which is the hottest load for you in there. I mean, it goes over each. And I was kind of impressed. I didn't know Wikipedia was that involved in ballistics. You know, I figured they just kind of describe the caliber of what war was used in, something like that.
Yeah, but usually a lot of people go to bullet manufacturers to figure out their ballistics and everything like that. But there's a ton of information out there if you'll just look for it. And
yeah,
and
I mean, it goes to
calibers and
powders, you know, what, how yeah, many grains
they,
of powder.
They all kill animals and shot placements, everything. But, you know, somebody who just doesn't want to be underarmed, just go ahead and buy you a 300 Win Mag, you know, get it over with. 300 Weatherby Mag or Win Mag, and just, hey, carry that cannon with you. It'll drop anything.
See, I'm not a fan of mags because of the flinch factor. I worry that people were going to, you know, give a bad placement shot because of the flinch factor. But one thing I was reading.
Yeah, if they're pilgrims, I mean, an experienced shooter, that, you know, guys that go to spend
to put
time
right there
on a range and get accustomed to a gun like that. It's I've got magnums and regular calibers and everything else, and it, you know, I don't get any flinch factor out of it. But, you know, I've shot a lot, too. But when you say 300 mag, everybody's just going, oh, my God, it's going to take my shoulder off. I think a 7 mag is probably the worst recoil gun out there.
That's what my buddy was saying, Mike. I mean, he's a ranch hand and, you know, guide for the ranch and everything. They send families out there. And he's like, I know you don't like mags. He's like, but I like mags. He's like, it's just, you know, you have more shine when you hit them. He's like, but a 7 mag, he's like, it does kick like a mule. He's like, I prefer a 300 Win Mag. And I like that shot placement, you know.
I got an old 7 mag Seiko. Man, how long have I had that gun? 35 years or whatever? It still shoots just so accurate. I mean, it cuts paper for you, but golly, that gun just rattles your brains.
Does it?
Yeah.
You ever tried a lighter load or a different?
Yeah, I've tried different weight projectiles and everything else in it, and it just still got a little thump to it, which, you know, it doesn't bother me, but to hand it to somebody your size versus my size, that's
right.
The difference is night and day. You know, I'm a big guy, and I, but the older I get, the less of that recoil I really like, you know. It,
right. I'm really liking my rifle. It's that 7x57 Mauser.
Yeah.
And it's just balanced. It doesn't kick hard. I mean, it's a pleasure to shoot. I mean,
that's like, you know, the AR platform guns that I've gotten really into, because I like them because, you know, I changed all my flash hiders out and put suppressor,
relief on the
flashers
end
on them. Yeah. And, you know, when I hunt, I like the, you know, the less noise. And, you know, I bought one suppressor that'll go from 22 caliber all the way up to 30 caliber. And I can just screw that puppy onto all the whatever gun I want to hunt with that day. And the only drawback to a suppressor, if you shoot a lot, you know, your gun gets very filthy, you know, with the back pressure, you know. And
never shot one.
Clean it more often. But, man, it sure makes hunting nice. And plus, after you squeeze one off, it's so quiet that, you know, it's not silent like they say, oh, it's a silencer. No, it's a suppressor. But
right.
After you squeeze a round off, I mean, you can hear it slap your target. You can hear it hit the game out there. You can hear a good hit with it.
And that's good.
Yes, it is.
I bought some of those earphones, those pro ears, you know, because I got bit late. And that way I could talk to him and hear a shot. And this one even have Bluetooth. So I can hear you talking on the radio station if I wanted to, real low. And
isn't
I
that
hear
cool?
Those are pretty neat. And I was telling my buddy Mike about that. And he's like, well, Tony, that's a good idea. He's like, that's probably why I'm half deaf. He's like, because I won't wear them. That way I can hear the shot hit.
No, that's it. Man, you put those I got a pair of camo ones. What brand are they? They're the good ones. But I can turn the volume up on them. And I can hear, I can hear everything outside the blind and when somebody's talking to me or anything and over any kind of shooting. I like wearing them at the range because it muffles out all the high noise and you can still hear people talk.
Yeah, you can hear like an armadillo coming in the grass or, you
know,
yeah, playing
with them. You could turn them up, magnify them, and that way You can hear that deer crash in the brush out there. If you happen to hit one of these stony burks on you and heads the brush, you can hear him crash out there and fall down and start flopping. It's pretty good. Yeah. Hang on, Tony. Let me do a quick break, and we'll come back and continue on, my friend. Hang with me. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 437 right here in the Bayou City on a northern type morning. Fog's gone. Temperatures are cooler. Skies are clear. A little breezy out there, but, hey, we can live with it. It's January. What else would you expect? All right, let's go back to Tony Gonzalez and finish up with him. All right, Tony, we are back.
All right. Have you seen that Lincoln commercial where he's whistling that tune?
Oh, yeah. Well, McConaughey, and he's sitting in the back of that Lincoln and waits for his old flag to come up, ice fishing. Yeah,
I thought about you when I heard it. I was like, "Hey, that's Mickey's song right there that he's with."
That's it, man. Leave it. No, that's Andy Griffith, right? Yeah, that was.
Andy Griffith.
Opie when he was dragging that stringer of trout behind him.
Every time I'm out there, I try to start whistling that when I'm throwing a topwater mick. You know, every time the Addams Family comes out instead of the and I'm like, that's not the right.
Leaving beavers when I used to work my straight back redfins too.
It was, which one was it? Leave it to Beaver.
Leave it to Beaver. You know the one that went da 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 da. Remember that? Leave it to Beaver. You had Wally and Eddie Haskell. He was nasty. Gee, Mrs. Cleaver, you look really nice today. What a suck up, man. He was.
That's probably how I am around Miss India, sucking up to her. but no, you know, just like I said, I've been reading them. But it was nice reading them books because Bill always talks about his buddy. And on the preface of one of them, he mentions Bill in there and just several people that he, you know, contributes his knowledge from. But another neat toy I got, I had to after I got into Robbie Hirsch's truck today with his dogs. He has, it's called a Garmin DriveTrack 71. I'm not big on GPSs. I barely use the one that comes with my truck. But that one had, you know, the bird's eye view. I mean, you could see the deer blinds, the roads, the power line roads. And he was trying to figure out a different route. He's like, we can try to put the dogs over here. He's like, the deer will circle. If he didn't come this way, he'll come back this way. So he tried to put them out on that power line. And right when I saw, I was like, what's that? I had to have that. I can find my stands a lot easier in the dark, and then you can, you know, you can start plotting. I put all those stands there, and you're able to plot back, and you're able to see your kind of your non-hunted zones, you know, like your zones where there's nothing between stands and stuff. And it's a really neat tool. I mean, it took me a while to figure it out. I had to add a chip to it, and it's pretty neat. I mean, it's like Google Earth. You know, you're driving, you see everything as you're driving. Pretty helpful. And then, like I say, when he has his dogs on there, you can watch their path on that screen where they're taking it. At one point, we're watching them, and then, boy, they started on something. Like, uh-oh, they might be on something. And they started circling again. And I don't think so, Tony, there.
Now, what's this Garmin called? What kind of track?
It's called DriveTrack 71.
DriveTrack 71?
And it is designed for dog people. Like when I was looking it up, some of the reviews, one guy's a, you know, GPS guru or whatever. And he's like, it's a neat device and most people won't find it because it is designed for dog people. And the reason they don't advertise it probably is, because another unit that has that, it's like $300 more. So unless you're a dog person, you're not going to find it. But, hey, it's a tool that, once you see it, if you saw it in my truck, you'd have to have it as soon as you saw it. You know, it's just too neat.
Yeah.
But like I said, I got a bit late. But I still got, you know, we got to knock down some does and spikes. And, we don't mess with, I mean, he'll knock down some spikes, but he usually leaves the younger bucks alone until 2.5, 3.5. And then his son, when he was out, knocked down a hog, and we usually don't have hogs. And he said he counted 17, so Desi was going to go check the fence and hopefully find a spot. And Desi don't think, he's like, I've already fixed the fence. He's like, they're just in here now. I got to knock them down.
Yeah, keep fixing that fence, man. You got to pour concrete barriers where they can't dig under. They're nasty. Yeah, man. You can't. They're just you can't get rid of them.
And that's what Bill's bragging. He's like, we didn't have hogs for 5 years on this ranch, and now we got them. Y'all can get them.
They want in. If there's food in there and they smell it, they're coming, man. They'll do anything to get in there.
Well, then javelinas have showed up lately, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
They're a little more brazen. Also. A deer does not like a javelina.
Yeah.
So we're watching.
Chambers County Anahuac hog, and they're aggressive, the ferals.
Yeah.
I still can't. Man, that just blows my mind, that woman getting attacked over there. I just can't. That just won't register with me.
It's horrible. There, Lisa was showing me a post. You know, we have a page here in the neighborhood, and people are complaining about the high school, the Canyon Lake High School, and they're all over the football field. And there's probably 30 of them in that picture. But how you got to turn people loose with rifles? Are you going to trust with a rifle, or, you know, how you going to bait them?
Well, true.
Hunting season isn't over, you know.
No, hog season's open year-round, and you don't even have to have a license to hunt a feral hog in the state now. That was
right.
A good law they passed.
And, you know, I've noticed more pictures on my old cards and stuff I can refer you. Once you start hunting a property and you're there every weekend and stuff, you know, like we do, those hogs are gone. They're smart. They have a creek there they can dip out
on. Very smart. They become nocturnal real quick.
But in February...
They know the pattern, buddy. They get it down.
But they'll be there every night, nursing, you know, nursing underneath the feeder, just taking residence under it. Now somebody's, guys, we got to hunt February. That's when they're here mostly.
I like the pictures when the coons are on top of the hogs' backs trying to reach up in the feeder and get corn out of it while the hogs are eating on the ground.
That's why you get you one of those remotes. It's real fun. And get real close to that feeder. So they get up and you hit that remote and they go flying down that pole and take off. We were having fun with a squirrel doing that to us on that last hunt. Hoping not to hurt him, he'd get up in that cage and man, I forgot if he was in there. Going to cut him up in half.
Laughing. No joke.
Other than that, just
all
hoping
right,
to get
Tony,
my boat fixed soon.
All right. Well, I thought I'd check in with you this morning and see what was up. And if somebody wants to get with you to hunt or fish with you, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Sure. Call me at 210-846-5083. You can go online to CaptainTGIF.com, abbreviate Captain. And the boat will be ready here in about 10 days and figure something out for you.
All right, bud. Well, Tony, have a good one. Nice talking to you. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Kevin.
All right, buddy. See you.
Bye.
All right. That's Captain Tony Gonzalez down in Rockport. Now we're going to go to Captain Jeff Naylor. He's out of Freeport, and let's see what he's doing this time of year with the weather patterns that we've been dealing with. Jeff, good morning. How are you, man?
What's going on, Captain Mickey?
Not a lot, bud. Not a lot.
Oh, yeah. You enjoying this little cool weather we got here?
I really am. I'm enjoying the no fog factor in it. I'm glad to blow some of that fog and moisture out of here.
Yeah, no kidding. No
kidding.
Feel like
I lived in London.
I know, that's right. Yeah, it's been an interesting week or so. You know, it's Wahoo season for us, so, you know, everybody's trying to blast out and go to their favorite Wahoo holes, and I tell you, it makes it difficult when you're driving 30, 40 miles in that fog, and sometimes you can't even see the bow, you know?
Man, that's got to be nasty. I wouldn't want to have to do that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, especially after that little incident they had over in Galveston. You know, I'd be a little nervous, I tell you that much. But
I'm with you.
The way it goes nowadays, you know.
Now you run charters. You run charters out of Freeport, right?
Yes, sir. So we own South Texas Salt Life Ventures, and we run out of Freeport. More importantly, the Freeport Marina there, the Dry Stack.
Yeah.
Nice
place.
Really nice place. Actually, I've been running boats down in this area for the last, you know, over 20 years, you know, and that kind of thing, but. They got that marina behind the floodgate there, which makes it really easy to deal with the hurricanes and all that kind of stuff. And
right.
course, over in Freeport area, it's you don't quite get the traffic and stuff that some of the other dry stacks get. So it's real easy for the customers kind of get in and out and everybody to find a place. So, yeah, it's really nice.
What kind of boat do you run, Jeff?
Currently, we got a 36-foot contender with trip motors on the back.
Right.
We just gave up our 30-foot contender last year, kind of hopes to just kind of have a lot of fun with this one this year before we start in on more boats in the next season, I think. So, yeah, we're going quite a bit more than I had been in the past winters. So we had some good weather windows. A lot of folks kind of shut down right at Octoberish, and we keep pushing through the winter times. Man, this is my favorite time to fish, to be honest with you.
You just got to grab your weather windows then, you know, between systems.
That's it, you know, but the beauty in it is you're out there all alone. You know, you don't have to worry about the big crowds and all that good stuff. So,
right.
Makes it really nice. Sharky, been filming with Sharky a few times this season too. And what you think about Sharky, Mickey?
I love Beth. He's a good guy, man. He comes from a fine family, and he's just as good a kid as you'd ever want to hang with. I can tell you that. He's something else, man.
That's right. He is. Fun to fish with, I tell you.
I bet there's never a dull moment in the boat. I've got to do some trout fishing this year together. I'm hoping I can get him up my way and go wade fishing or fish together, catch some trout and redfish.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he keeps the whole boat rolling for the entire time, you know. A lot of fun. But yeah, we got some more stuff to do this winter. A lot of people do the Wahoo stuff at the gardens and, you know, back and forth along the hilltops and different outer rigs. But, you know, we're starting really to get into some sword fishing and, you know, deep dropping, stuff like that along some of those deep valleys right at the hilltops or east breaks or whatever. And like I said, it's my favorite time of the year whenever you get that window, you know, be able to go do stuff like that.
I'm with you. And I've never been one to turn down a swordfish steak, I can tell you that. Golly, we used to do those all the time, grilled swordfish steaks on the grill. Man, those were good.
Oh, dynamite. Absolute dynamite. We caught we went out on a trip. We took Sharky on Christmas Day, as a matter of fact, and went out and did some yellowfin tuna fishing, stuff like that. Kind of did a little fun fishing trip, which doesn't happen very often. So, but anyhow, we took off and did our little overnight. And on the way back in, you know, we stopped in. We caught one sword on the way out, daytime dropping.
Right.
And on the way back in, it was a little pup. So we decided, man, let's stop and get a keeper. And so we dropped. 6 hours later, we finally land this 200-plus swordfish, and it was just so happened to be a pumpkin, you know, those pink meatish swordfish. Oh, my gosh, dynamite.
Was it good?
Oh, melt in your mouth, Mickey. Unreal.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, no. That.
So that's what you call them, pumpkins, when you get that good meat out of them like that? That pink meat?
Yeah.
Pumpkin? Okay.
I think that's what they refer to them as. The story goes that they eat those ruby red shrimp on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess they don't come that often, so you get a pumpkin probably.
Got you.
You know, right, they're not so common. But anyway, they're really, really sweet and really good to eat for sure. Yeah, we had that.
When you run your charters out of Freeport there, how do you book your boat? How many people do you book it for when somebody calls you for a party of people?
So, you know, people call me on this on my cell phone or book through our website. We got a booking software program on our website, and my permits are good for 6 customers.
I got you.
At a time, and of course, you book the boat, not per person. Although
right.
This time of year, we do run some open boat trips and stuff like that. Just try to catch every window we can.
Yeah, like if you got a couple of spots open, a couple of extra guys could buy in and get on the boat with the other 4. Yeah, I got you.
Right. Yeah. And we'll have that from time to time. Get a group of 4 guys that call, and you know, just can't quite get there with the money, so we'll look around for a couple other folks and make a good trip out of it type thing. And, like I said, I mean, we do really well. It's, me and my better half, we basically do the whole thing ourselves. She's my deckhand, first mate.
Oh, your wife deckhands for you too, huh?
Yeah,
cool.
She does.
Husband and wife and, team.
And I tell you what, you know, she hasn't always been there, and I tell you, it's a blessing to have her here. It's she's a lot of fun, and she works her butt off. Blows my mind sometimes, you know.
Yeah, well, she's into it.
That's it, and she is. She is definitely into it. She's a lot of fun to have around, and everybody has a great time with us, and we're still in that zone and just going out and having fun. You know, it's not it's not necessarily business to us, you know, so a lot of fun. We ought to get you out there, Mickey.
I understand. Well, it'll have to be a good day. I'm not into that as like I used to be back in the day. I used to run out there all the time, man, and I'm a land shark now. I like fishing the backwaters.
I got
but
you.
No, I enjoy a good offshore trip now and then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, if somebody wants to, Jeff, if somebody wants to look up your web address and get with you on a charter coming up throughout the year, what's the best way to get a hold of you, my friend?
You can call my phone at 979-417-1013. Or you can go to our website at stsladventures.com. That's short for South Texas Salt Life Adventures. And just give us a holler anytime if you got any questions.
STSL. Okay, bud. Well, Jeff, good talking to you. It's offshore season. It'll be blowing and going.
Yes, sir. As always, thank you so much, Mr. Mickey.
You got it, Jeff. Take care, my friend. Nice talking to you. Have a great Sunday.
Do the same, brother.
All right, see you. Take care. All right, that's Captain Jeff Naylor over in Freeport.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.